This is Sunday Side Up, a presentation of Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated. Here's your host, Barb Richards.
Hey, everybody. This is Sunday Side Up, and I'm Barb Richards. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. We have an important show. I'm going to precede it before we've even done the show because it's the mayor. The mayor is here automatically. That means it's important. Mayor Tom Henry, thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
We're looking forward to what you have to say about the upcoming year, how you felt about 2012, what's going on in our fine city. Always great things to talk about. And also, County Recorder John McGauley is here. Hello.
Good morning.
And John, I think a lot of people don't know exactly what it is that you do, and the more I find out about what you do and what that office is all about, the important things are happening down there too.
I think you're right, and we love a chance to tell people the resources we have available down there, because there are a lot of things that have to do with everyday life in our community.
It really, really does. So let's take a quick look back, Mayor. 2012, how was it?
Actually, 2012 was a tremendous year for the city of Fort Wayne, realizing that we had a lot of economic challenges. We're no different than the state of Indiana or, in many cases, our country.
Mm-hmm.
We all had some real struggles when it came to job creation and job attraction and job retention. So that was really a primary focus in 2012 for everybody. But at the same time, our city continued to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
As many of our listeners know, the Harrison Project, the completion of the Parkview Field area is on its way. We have some new condominiums being built downtown, the old Anthony Wayne Bank. We finished up the Martin Luther King Jr. Bridge.
I know, it's so beautiful. Love it.
And a lot of people have really had some nice positive comments about that. So our city's been on the move. And that's exactly what we wanted, was to make downtown Fort Wayne more and more a point of destination. I think in 2013, we're going to turn that a little bit. We still have some projects we want to finish. We're going to turn Ewing and Fairfield into two-way streets. We're going to be doing some other things. We're going to have our first roundabout downtown. So there's a lot more that's going to be happening. But at the same time, we're going to change our focus a little bit and move towards the neighborhoods. The neighborhoods are, you know, they're the heart of our city. And we need to make sure that to the extent that we can, we continue to service them.
So what is on the agenda for the neighborhoods in the upcoming year?
Well, one of the things we've tried to do is to make sure that all of our citizens know that this administration is approachable and accessible to all of them. And we want to make sure we have the tools in place for them to contact us and to talk to us. So we try to use the social media. We have a brand new webpage that's interactive with the citizens. We have our own Facebook, even Twitter. And we have quarterly meetings with all the neighborhood association presidents. We have staff that go to regular neighborhood association meetings. I have a program called Mayor's Night In.
Mm-hmm.
I just had one a few days ago where citizens are invited to come in and spend a few minutes with me to talk about, you know, their concerns for the city. We actually have Mayor's Night Out sometimes. We were out at one of the shopping centers and actually set up tables and chairs and met people who were in the shopping center. I think we were in Jefferson Point.
Mm-hmm.
I also go on neighborhood walks,
mm-hmm.
And I'll actually go through a neighborhood or I'll go through a business sector. And the whole idea, and I'm with a lot of my staff, and the whole idea is to give our citizens a chance to talk to this administration, to talk to the people who run this city, to make sure that we're meeting their needs as best we can.
Well, you're going to the source, you know,
exactly.
Which a lot of people don't want to take the time to do. And then let's go back to social media for a second. You know, does this give the public a more of a platform to voice complaints, or do you? Have you gotten a lot of great feedback? I mean,
actually, we receive more positive feedback,
mm-hmm.
in our Facebook utilization, and then the surveys and polls we put out over our webpage. And we're constantly surveying our community, ask them about different projects that we're doing and how they feel about it. We also ask our public, what are some of the more important services to you, to you personally? How do you feel about our police department, our parks department? How do you feel about our fire department? And are there things that we can do better?
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly surveying. We also have a wonderful award-winning 311 system.
Yes.
And it's growing in leaps and bounds. They're getting thousands of phone calls mm-hmm. a month. This way, Barb, if you have a question, you don't need to go through the phone book and try to figure out who to call. It's one call to City Hall. You call 311, and they'll direct you to the right people.
Can I tell you how much that has lessened the call volume to radio stations? You know, I've been in the business for a long time, and we were oftentimes that source of information, sure. You know. We'd be like, yeah, we're not the public library, right. but that is a great service, and I utilize that service a lot. There are people that have issues that come up that right. they're just totally unprepared to deal with.
And it also has lessened the volume going to 911.
Right.
911 is for emergency calls. And unfortunately, just like you, a lot of people didn't know who to call, so they called 911 mm-hmm. thinking it was a standard switchboard. We're trying to get the non-emergency calls as best we can away from that. It is for emergencies. And we mm-hmm. developed 311 about 5 years ago, and it's been very successful and award-winning.
Yeah. Now, John, your office in particular does some things with neighborhoods as far as covenants and what all do you provide for the neighborhoods?
It's really an important question because, you know, one of the biggest sources of conflict in neighborhoods are violations of covenants.
Oh, believe me, I serve on the board of my neighborhood.
There you go.
There's
you
one
know
more person that asks me why we can't have a shed.
Yeah, sheds are the biggest source,
oh
I'll bet.
God.
Decks, fences, things like that. And very few people know where that information resides.
Mm-hmm.
You might have gotten a copy from the realtor. Maybe you got one from the neighborhood association president when you moved in.
And it's a crappy copy, and it looks terrible, and you can't read it. And
well, that's where those documents come to my office to reside. When people build a new subdivision, you know, lay one out, one of the first things they do is bring in the plat of that subdivision and the original set of neighborhood covenants. We actually went out a few years ago recognizing this and built a website that's specifically dedicated to getting covenants in the hands of people for free really quickly. This thing just got recognized a couple months ago by Harvard University as a really good idea, really good, easy idea for governments to communicate more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's a number that's interesting. If you think about how many neighborhoods we have to deal with here in Allen County, and the bulk of them are in the city of Fort Wayne, there are about 8,000 sections of subdivisions in this county. That's how many of those documents
That's
we
a
have.
Lot.
Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, my little neighborhood association out by Georgetown, my little neighborhood, you know, my subdivision, there's 6 or 7 sections just to that one. So if you think about it, I mean, that's the basics of neighborhood governance in our community, and a really important document that people don't know where to find.
Right, right. And it's good to know that it's there. And because there's so many questions that come up that we have no idea how to deal with. We have a parcel of land with our neighborhood, and we don't know why it's there and what it's supposed to do. We just know that we have to pay taxes on it.
Call me.
And,
we'll figure it out.
And we have to mow it. One of the biggest changes in downtown is right next to our building here, with St. Francis purchasing
Correct.
That block.
Right.
That's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting for, for downtown Fort Wayne in particular.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, Barb, a few minutes ago, we've been working very hard trying to bring more and more activity
mm-hmm.
to downtown Fort Wayne. And it's hard to ask businesses to come down and start if there aren't enough people.
Right.
And people don't want to come down unless there's things to do. So we've been working real hard trying to address those issues with each group. Well, University of St. Francis realized that their campus was beginning to become landlocked.
Right.
And they're a growing university, and they realized there was some property downtown, and many other universities in the country are beginning to bring their educational programs downtown. So they tried to get very current with their applications, and they did purchase 2 or 3 buildings. And they are going to bring more and more classes downtown. Mm-hmm. One of the buildings will be the Performing Arts Center, and they're going to be offering all types of arts and media training. The other one will be a business school, and the other one will be more of an administrative building. But they also bought the 2 parking lots across the street,
mm-hmm.
one obviously for student parking, but the other building they bought for future development. It could be another academic building. It could be a dormitory. It could be a number of things. So they're trying to look into the future as well. So it's very exciting. We're predicting between 300 and 500 students on a daily basis downtown, which would be a real shot in the arm for the increase in mass.
And it seems as if St. Francis is just as excited about this as all of us here in the downtown area.
There's no
are.
Question about it. And I think the other universities and colleges are looking at downtown, too. You know, Barb, we have about 35,000 college students in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
We have over a dozen post-secondary institutions, all kinds of colleges and universities. I mean, you can get your full medical degree here now.
I know.
You can get a law degree here. Mm-hmm. You can get dozens of master's degrees. So there's no reason why a student has to leave Fort Wayne.
Right.
So the more attractive we can make the educational environment, the more apt they are to stay.
I was very excited to see the Manchester College School of Pharmacy move in. That is another great plus for us.
Now they're looking, another one of the colleges are looking at bringing in the School of Physical Therapy, which for years was just in Indianapolis and Bloomington. Now it's beginning to go out throughout the state. And I think they see a rise in the need for physical therapy, occupational therapy, because there's a group of baby boomers who are getting older and older. We have 10,000 people a day turning 65. They're going to have to be addressed in the latter years of their life, and that means more therapy. So I think a lot of the colleges see that, and they're going to try to create a curriculum to address that.
And that'll be to our benefit. Of course, nobody in this room is getting any older.
Not even close.
Not even close. Not at all. So, all right, we're going to delve into some more things as we look forward into 2013 and welcoming in the new year for the city of Fort Wayne and Allen County and Northern Indiana in particular. All good stuff. We will be right back with more Sunday Side Up. Stay tuned.
Sunday Side Up is heard each week on WAJI-FM and WLDE-FM Fort Wayne, both proudly owned by Sarkis Tarzian Incorporated.
This is Sunday Side Up. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us here. And with me is Mayor Tom Henry. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I sometimes see you more often than we see our family members. Mayor, you're at everything.
I try to be. I think that's part of a mayor's job, is to get out as much as he or she can. That's the reason you were elected to office, to be accessible to people, so I try to be.
But to me, that's two different sides of the brain. I mean, I think you'd be elected to office because of your leadership skills and, you know, the fact that you're a genius, things like that.
Make sure you write that down.
And the other, you know, very public side, very extroverted, and I just think you do both things well, which is why you've been so successful.
Well, you've
I'm just an ordinary citizen who gets to be on the radio and yak a lot for a living, but I think life in Fort Wayne is just wonderful, and it's been that way for a while, you know, good schools, good things going on.
Barb, I think that our city was ready to move. You know, we were a little stagnant for a while. Again, that could have been a reflection of the economy. It could have been back people were just tired of trying to move forward, not making any progress, but I think the time came when a vast majority of our citizens said, you know, enough is enough. We need to move our city forward. And they're making great strides in a number of areas. The other evening, the city council approved a number of recommendations that came from the legacy committee. And we're going to be doing a lot more things downtown. They're going to be improving the overpasses and underpasses throughout downtown. As I mentioned earlier, they're going to be turning Ewing and Fairfield into two-way, which is really transformational for downtown.
I have to really think about that.
Well, they're one way from Superior to Baker. They really don't serve any purpose anymore. A lot of people don't know why they're one way.
Do we know why? Do you know? Because you should have recorded that in your office.
I'll check that when I get back.
Okay, I want to know the answer to that question.
I've got it, but maybe I can just let you think about it for a while. But they're one way for only about six or eight
blocks. Yeah, you're right.
They really don't serve a purpose. So going back to two-way, we think would open up opportunities for businesses to locate, because now you'll have two-way traffic. Obviously, the west side of Ewing across from Parkview Field, that will open all that up for perhaps new housing opportunities. By putting a roundabout down to Superior, which is a major intersection now, because you're going to got Well Street and Fairfield and Ewing and Superior, all of them coming together, rather than have some type of system of lights, traffic lights, a roundabout, you can keep moving and never have to worry about.
Where's the roundabout going again?
On Superior.
Okay.
Right over the Well Street Bridge.
Right over here?
And several other cities are doing that now.
Yeah.
I think it's time for Fort Wayne. But those are just a few of the projects that we're going to be addressing in 2013 and into 14 as well. We're going to be redoing the McMillan Center in McMillan Park. It used to be an ice rink. We're going to be turning it into a community and athletic center. We're going to be doing more and more with our rivers, trying to turn them into an asset rather than a detriment to our community. So there's a lot of activity that's going to be taking place over the next couple of years, and it's all for the city.
That's wonderful. I'm reading this fascinating book about William Wells. You know, he was, well, you probably know this again, John, because he should be the historian, right? But he was an important guy. I mean, he's got a bridge, a street, and a county named after him. He did a lot. But actually, the William Wells Festival that's held, there was a fascinating speaker who wrote this book. It took me a year to finally pick up the book. You know how it is with your busy schedule. But it's just a great book. It's the true story of William Wells and Sweet Breeze. He was married to Little Turtle's daughter. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very exciting to see all that expansion going on. And it was very exciting to see the changes over on the south side of town, Renaissance Point.
Yes.
That project is now complete.
We built 66 homes.
Beautiful.
And all of them are rent-to-own homes. In 15 years, those who are renting it will own the homes.
Are they all taken?
They're all taken. And now there's been requests to build more. But there's also going to be a very nice apartment complex that's being built. One, the Pontiac Square area where the old Coca-Cola plant was. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some apartments built there. There's going to be some brownstones built. We've got a lot of activity. The old Eden Green apartment complex is now under new ownership. They've already begun to address some of the problems there, and at the same time, that they're going to be building new buildings to make it more attractive. There's just a lot of activity going on in East Central and in the Southeast, in many cases long overdue. But now they're beginning to get some activity.
You mentioned neighborhoods earlier on, and any more plans to incorporate anything? Or
well, we're always looking at annexation possibilities. Mm-hmm. We haven't annexed in a while because you need money to annex. You have to be able to prove to the state that you can support whatever area you're going to annex. And again, because of the economic condition of our city and our state and our county, over the past several years, we did not feel comfortable bringing in new citizens and not being able to give them sufficient services. Well, things are beginning to change. We've got a little bit of money in the bank now. Our financial condition's a little bit better. So we are looking at some areas for potential annexation and bring some more citizens into our community. But we still have problems, for instance, out southwest, where we have citizens who we take care of in everything except water and sewer. They belong to Aqua Indiana, and there's been a number of concerns about the water quality, the water pressure, and the cost from those residents, and they're asking us to step up and help them as well. So we've got a lot of challenges still out there, but at the same time, we are looking for potential growth areas, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, as the city grows, is there anything that changes in your department? Do you have to delve into other areas, or are you covering everything already?
Our base of services for neighborhoods really remains the same. We just do more of it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that we're kind of a hub of activity for neighborhoods, especially when it comes to enforcing their own rules. And we've seen more and more of that lately.
I bet you see a lot of lawyers.
We see a lot of lawyers and a lot of people. People wonder what happens when you break those rules, those covenant rules, when you don't pay your dues. That's where people come to my office to do. So we're really a hub for a lot of that activity. People are bringing in their liens against people who haven't paid their dues. They're recording their bylaws so people can know this is how we run our meetings. This is how we elect our board members. Just a tremendous amount of that takes place in our office, and it's something that we wish more people were aware of, so they knew how to become more educated citizens and better participants in their neighborhoods.
Well, we're getting ready to develop a website for our neighborhood, and I'm sure that there's a lot of neighborhoods that have done just that, which is just a great way, as you said, as you guys have found out with social media, it's just a great way to get people to get that information easily.
Until you finish that website, we will encourage people to come to allencountyrecorder.us/neighborhoods.
I'm just putting the link up.
Okay, good. We've got not only the ability to search and look at covenants, find out what's going on in your own neighborhood. We link back to city and county information about meetings and contact information. Lots and lots of resources there for people that don't have their website yet.
And neighborhood code, right, too?
Yes.
Because that's where you get a lot of questions there. The garbage cans aren't supposed to be out in front of your house unless it's garbage day, and the weed ordinance and all that kind of stuff. So we and my neighborhood is not real active either in association participation. So you kind of learn all of these things. I never knew, you just think you move into a neighborhood and it takes care of itself, but somebody's got to pay some taxes on some land.
And there's a lot of covenants too in many of the neighborhoods that you need to be aware of, because sometimes you go out and do something that violates one of their covenants, yeah. and all you'll do is get in trouble with your neighbors.
And
I
there's
know.
Some really weird stuff in some of these covenants.
All right, give us the top two weird things.
Well, there are some things out there that are unpleasantly weird still, and you know, we wish people were more aware of them. Some of, like the Harrison Hill neighborhood, for example, became aware of this a few years ago, and came in and dealt with it. Recorded some things that you know that fixed their rules, mm-hmm. but there are some things that you know date back to the 20s. And 30s and 40s that are still in, you know, still on the record here in our county that say that people of certain racial or ethnic mm-hmm. origins can't live here. But the ones that are kind of a giggle are the rules that prevent you can't have livestock in our neighborhood, you can't drill, you can't mine. So, you know, when gas prices get too high, you're not allowed to sink your own well in your backyard.
Okay.
In a lot of these neighborhoods, that's
wasn't there a house just found in Cherry Hill with a bunch of tunnels? Maybe that yeah. would fall under the mining laws,
I hope
maybe?
They discovered that they were drilling for oil.
And it's not
they
just
were
neighborhoods.
Drilling for something.
Being a former city council person, even the city code, we have some city laws right now that are extremely old and have never been changed.
But it takes a lot to change them.
It does.
To get that. I mean, again, we've tried to change some things in the neighborhood, and you have to get a lot of people
to
say yes.
65-75%. It's really a trick, and there are so many rules that govern how you get those petitions passed and signed and notarized, and it's really tricky. But in a lot of the cases that I'm talking about, where you know these rules are still sitting out there, they probably expired a long time ago. And thank goodness, you know, lots of federal laws have come along since then to mm-hmm. say you really can't ban people of certain origins from living here. But it still has become a matter of pride for some of these neighborhoods to come in and get these things off the books.
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping on the state level of anything changing this year? What are you hoping that our representatives take a look at?
Well, I think, Barbara, actually, there's a lot of things. You know, revenue drives cities, and they drive counties, and it drives school systems. And obviously, several years ago, we were capped on all the property tax, and I mean, many people think that was a good thing to do, so much so they put it in the Constitution. Others felt that property taxes being somewhat of a stable tax was not the thing to address. They should have addressed other taxes. But that being said, we have our property taxes capped. So cities now and counties and school systems are being put in a position to take a look around and say, okay, can we cut costs, which is not always bad, but we are still going to need some revenue. We're still going to need monies put aside to continue the quality of life that we've given our citizens that they become accustomed to. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge of almost all elected officials. Mm-hmm. How can we generate additional revenue without additional taxes or minimal taxes? How can we use user fees? How can we partner with private organizations? What opportunities are out there to continue to move a city or a county or a school system forward and not get anybody hurt financially? And that's a real challenge. So I think that's going to be one of the biggest asks of 2013. How do we continue to move our city forward with minimal invasion in the pocketbook?
Mm-hmm. And that's even the case, even in our situation. I mean, the revenue has become such a dire problem for counties. Next year, the recorder's office is going just on user fees. We're out of the tax base completely, and it's a necessity. You know, people that are able to bring in their own dollars are finding themselves having to say goodbye to tax revenue.
Right, you wonder about how that might change traditionally some things that have gone, that have been public, changing over to private, mm-hmm. being privately held. And what's a couple of the, we're almost out of time, I want to get to Governor Pence.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think some of his challenges, other than the fact that he's new?
Well, the fact that he is new, I think in and of itself is going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been in this type of state environment before. I know that throughout the campaign, he addressed a number of social issues. You know, will he, in fact, attempt to bring those social issues forward to have the state legislature address them? Some of them have been around before. They've left. Is he going to bring some of those back? So I think, you know, whether it's an education or social issues themselves, I don't know. Plus, he has a Republican-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate. That's going to be a challenge because you have different philosophies from different members of the Senate, let's say. Some of them are more middle of the road. Some are extremely right. Some, believe it or not, are beginning to lean a little left. So he's going to have to control his own party in both the Senate and the House, and at the same time learn his job. So it's going to, he's got a table full, that's for sure.
He's not going to get any sleep in 2013.
I don't think so.
One of his marquee issues has been pushing a 10% tax cut.
That's true.
And it's not getting a very positive reception, even among the Republicans in the General Assembly. They're saying, you know, Indiana's in the black. Let's just leave this alone until the economy stabilizes. So they've said this is going to be in our first budget, and it's getting a chilly reception.
Is there a local concern about the fiscal cliff?
Barb, I don't think it's going to happen. I think a lot of what we see and hear and read is part of the, unfortunately, it's part of the political process. Each party, you know, is trying to state the philosophy of their respective parties. But I think when it comes to the end of the day, they both know that they're going to have to do something. You cannot put this country in that kind of position. Too many things will crumble. But I think they'll probably take it up to the 11th hour, and then somebody will blink, and the process will begin to change. It'll be some type of negotiated stand that both of them will say, you know, we had to give a little bit in order to keep from falling off that cliff, and that's the only reason we did it, and so on.
So there's never a loser. There's always just, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. They're not going to get all they wanted, but they'll get something. That's my opinion.
Do you have an opinion you'd like to share?
I think the best fireworks show in the country will be in Washington, D.C. on New Year's Eve.
Fireworks of words.
That's right.
It's always so great to have you guys here. Always so enjoyable. You're doing a great job leading the city. I tell you that frequently because you are, and we appreciate it. And then there's a lot of people out there that just adore the ground you walk on. I am one of them. Mayor Tom Henry from the city of Fort Wayne, Allen County Recorder John McGauley, also contributing much to our city's success and information and just being out there to help people through a lot of different issues and a lot of different problems.
And
so,
that's what we want to do.
Right. Here's to the best to all of us for 2013.
You too.
Thanks for joining us today on Sunday Side Up.
Thanks for tuning in for Sunday Side Up with your host, Barb Richards. The views expressed in the show are not necessarily those of Sarkis Tarzian Management. For comments or questions, please contact the station directly.